everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Do you ever wonder what attributes are needed to achieve great success? Is it hard work, good fortune, God's grace, or all of the above? What are the key ingredients to achieving your dreams and having a successful life? And just what is a successful life? Are you a history maker, a homemaker, or someone just trying to live a quiet and purposeful life? Whatever the case, my next guest calls you a leader and invites you to explore the lives of those leaders who have accomplished the extraordinary. In his latest must-read, 21 Great Leaders, Learn Their Lessons, Improve Your Influence, you will learn from a man by all accounts who has achieved the American dream in life, in marriage, family, career, and on the court, basketball that is. Would you welcome to Testimony a great honor indeed, co-founder and senior vice president of the NBA's Orlando Magic, basketball Hall of Famer, author of over 90 books, and father to 19 children, the legendary Pat Williams. Pat, welcome to Testimony.
Wow, Jen, that was an incredible introduction. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. However, I'm delighted to be on with you, and I'm looking forward to our visit here.
Well, that is just the tip of the iceberg regarding all of your accomplishments. And my first question has to be, Pat, how did you do it all and live to tell it?
I think the key, Jen, is to figure out what you love to do more than anything in the world. Then you've got to live a disciplined life and stay focused on those things that really are important to you. In my case, it's public speaking, it's writing books, raising our family, helping to run an NBA basketball team, and working out, staying in shape physically. I mean, that's really kind of where my life centers. My faith obviously intertwines with all of that. But I'm not a golfer, I'm not a fisherman, you know, I'm not a stamp collector. I'm a voracious reader, but I stay very close to those areas that really I think I was put on this earth to pursue. And above all, don't waste time. The average American, for example, Jen, will watch 4 hours of television a day. Well, if you take that same 4 hours and pour it into something that's really, really vital, you know, really important, boy, that's a lot of hours in a year. So I try not to waste a second of the day.
Well, your life is proof of that in the reading of your book. This is a two-part exclusive. We are listening to Pat Williams, ladies and gentlemen, part one of our conversation today. Before we begin to get into your latest great read, 21 Great Leaders, would you just begin to tell our audience, Pat, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the role faith has played in your journey, and just maybe some of the pitfalls and struggles along the way. Then we will segue more into your remarkable book next week. Pat, please tell us your story.
Well, I grew up in a church-going home, and I thought I was a Christian. You know, if somebody had asked me, I would have said yes. I went to a Baptist college in North Carolina, Wake Forest University, but, you know, there was no personal relationship with Christ. That's what really was missing. When I left college, I pursued professional baseball and was having enormous success running a minor league ball club for the Phillies in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Every award that could come our way was coming. But after the initial exhilaration had kind of faded, I was wrestling, you know. There's got to be more than this. There seemed to be a real emptiness in my life. And in that state of mind, at this point I'm 26, 27 years old, I began to run into some Christian athletes. I heard them speaking, and that left a huge imprint on me. And then a young lady in a singing group handed me a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws and sat down over breakfast and explained it to me. you know, about the fact that God loves me and I've got a sin problem. That was a little hard for me to deal with. But that God had rectified that with Jesus coming to earth to forgive our sins. And my job was to accept Christ, to receive him as a free gift. I finally got to the point where I figured, you know, now let's give this a shot. You know, why not? And I did. I made that decision. And oh boy, Jesus came into my life in a very, very dramatic way in February of 1968. I was 27 years old, and that moment, everything in my life changed. You know, I became a new creation as the scriptures promise. And so for these many, many years, I guess 47 of them now in pro basketball, that's where the Lord has placed me, giving me a platform here in the professional basketball world to share my faith and write about my faith and, you know, be a difference maker through sports. So it's been quite an adventure. It hasn't all been perfect. You know, I've had many setbacks and many failures, but I found that God really works through them, probably more than our successes. And we sure learn a lot when we're struggling with difficult issues, but God is ever faithful, and he never forsakes us. So it's been quite a ride, Jen, and the ride is far from over. I think there are many more adventures ahead for us here in Orlando.
Wow. Well, you are quite the overcomer. That is the premise of my broadcast here. Revelation 12:11, Pat speaks of where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But God certainly says that we're not going to be without struggles and things that we have to overcome. Where do you think you get your inward motivation? You are the father of 19 children, as I understand, 14 of those which have been adopted from four different nations. And at one time, if I'm reading this correctly, you had 16 teenagers under one roof at one time, and you're the father, and you are saying what to them?
Stay out of trouble. Keep your room neat. Watch the words that leave your lips. Keep your hands to yourself. Study. Clean your plates off. Do your chores.
So you were motivating.
Oh boy.
Beginning in the home. I mean, you're one of the top motivational speakers in the United States. You are sought after by organizations, corporate America, you name it. They want to have you come and speak and energize and motivate their teams, their business leaders. You've literally done it all. So did your parents, Pat, have something to do with your inward motivation and drive to succeed? Was it the Lord in your life that prompted this or enhanced this? Explain that to someone who may be of the mindset that I don't want to work that hard to do all he's done. What am I missing here?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think we do come into the world with certain traits that we inherit from our forefathers, you know, and my mom and dad were highly motivated. They were leaders in the state of Delaware in many different areas. And I got to see them practice this really on a daily basis. They didn't really talk about it or preach it. I never heard the word leadership used, but in so many different areas, my father and mother were absolutely leading the way in the tiny state of Delaware. So that's the atmosphere in which I grew up. You know, I was a sports nut. I fell in love with sports at a very early age, and that became my passion at the age of 7. And it never left me, you know, in those years growing up. And listen, in my mid-70s, it hasn't left yet. So I think the key here is to figure out where you've got talent and where that talent intersects with passion. And if you can get that resolved, you know, you're going to be right in the sweet spot, which is where you want to live. I think that's where God wants you to live. Talent intersecting with passion. And I want to write a book about that someday. So I think that really is kind of the key. And God wants us to live fully. He wants us to live with passion and energy. And I think he wants us to figure out what our greatest skill is and what our greatest interests are, and then really build strongly in those areas. He equips us. You know, he puts that into our life. And he wants us to get moving in those areas where we really have some strengths.
Well, now, in your book, 21 Great Leaders, which we are going to talk more in depth in part two of our conversation today, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Hall of Famer Pat Williams. There are seven key ingredients that you talk about or that you've narrowed down that makes a great leader. Can you talk about just a couple of those?
Well, Jen, let me just say this. In my study of leadership and my own experience in leadership, I'm convinced that there's seven ingredients, seven qualities that every great leader possesses. So let me share it to you in this fashion. You know, what I think I've figured out about leadership, seven things one must do to be a leader, right and true, have vision that is strong and clear, communicate so they can hear, have people skills based in love, and character that's far above, the competence to solve and teach, and boldness that has fearless reach, a serving heart that stands close by to help, assist, and edify. So I believe that when you really study leaders from all periods of time in depth, you'll discover that most of them have those seven qualities that have allowed them to excel as leaders.
Wow. Pat, are most leaders born with leadership gifts, or are they learned over time? And how did you learn yours?
Jen, I am often asked, are leaders born or made? And my answer is both. Every leader that I'm aware of has been born. Now, that's not the most profound statement in the world, but every leader was born. And after they're born, you know, along the way, they are developed and they work at it. However, somewhere in between being born and being developed, there's another huge step, and that is deciding. At some point, they decided, you know, I want to be a leader. It may have been in the military. It may be at some point in college. It may have been in high school when a coach said, you know, you are the leader, son, of this football team. And I'm expecting you to lead the way. And that was a lifetime, you know, altering change for this kid, you know. So everybody has a different experience, I think. But at some point, you've got to say, I really have decided, and I want to be a leader. When you do that, then you start working at it with a purpose. You study other leaders. You read about it. You keep working on your own leadership attributes. Try and beef up some of your failings. You know, you really take it seriously and really work hard at becoming a competent leader. And believe me, it can be done.
Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to NBA Hall of Famer and author, his latest great read, 21 Great Leaders. You can learn more about Pat Williams by going to patwilliamsmotivate.com or wherever books are sold. Mr. Williams, I want to thank you for sharing just a little of your story with us on Testimony. It's incredible, inspiring, and motivating. We look forward to hearing more next week. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the magnetic and inspiring true story of author, motivational speaker, and Basketball Hall of Famer, Pat Williams, whose latest great read, 21 Great Leaders, Learn Their Lesson, Improve Your Influence, is just one of the many reasons this extraordinary achiever continues to do just that, in life, and in the Lord. As co-founder and senior vice president of NBA's Orlando Magic, Pat has been recognized as one of the 50 most influential people in NBA history. And did we also mention father to 19 children, author of over 90 books, and cancer survivor, better yet, overcomer? Would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, the man John Maxwell calls friend, and his book, 21 Great Leaders, a quote, leadership classic. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pat Williams.
Hey, Jen, thanks a million. I'm glad you invited me back, and I'm glad that we can visit again.
Well, it's great to have you back. Pat, last week our listeners heard just a little of your own personal backstory and the risks you've had to take to achieve NBA history. It would seem God naturally ordained you to be an overcomer in so many areas. Yet in reading your book and the examples you outline of 21 great leaders, overcoming often came at a price for these leaders, personally, professionally, financially, and in other ways. But this did not stop or deter these great leaders, and it did not stop or deter you. After decades of study and experience, you've boiled it down to 7 key ingredients that make a great leader. Can you talk about some of those ingredients and what, in your view, is the most critical to overall success and achievement?
Jen, I have learned that there are 7 sides to being a great leader. So once we figured out who we thought were the 21 most impactful leaders of history, let's say history of the last couple hundred years, we tried to figure out then what was their greatest strength. So on the aspect of vision, which is the first side of leadership, we put Walt Disney in there, dream, believe, dare, and do. Then Nelson Mandela, a rainbow vision. And Steve Jobs, who wanted to put a dent in the universe. So we thought those three deserved to be in that first section on vision. And we moved to the second side, communication. And there's Winston Churchill, sending language into battle. And Martin Luther King Jr., I have a dream. Ronald Reagan, the great communicator. The third side we call people skills. And there's Sam Walton with his 10-foot rule and Franklin D. Roosevelt, stricken and strengthened, and Pope John Paul II, the force of forgiveness. So that, for example, are the those are the first 9 leaders, and we did a chapter on each one on their what we thought was their greatest strength based on these 7 sides of leadership that I've come up with.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Your book is phenomenal. I think it's a must-read. It's a textbook read, in my view. I just would like to list the 7 up front in case we missed one again. Vision, communication, people skills, character, competence, boldness, and a serving heart. Pat, what are the particular leadership traits you've had to learn over time, and what role did your faith play in honing and developing those qualities?
Well, as I said earlier last week, and I became a Christian at age 27, and I was already in a leadership position. And then from that point on, moving into the NBA as a very young executive, I was my leadership opportunities were increasing. I wish, by the way, back in those days that we had books on leadership and seminars. You know, I never heard the word. I was doing it, but I really didn't hone in on this until, you know, many, many, many years later. But I certainly had to learn about vision, you know, to see the future before it gets here, to see down the road before others. I think that's what great leaders do. I had to work very hard on my communication skills. It's one thing to have a vision as a leader, but if you can't communicate that vision effectively, nothing is going to happen to your vision.
Wow.
People skills. Oh, boy. We great leaders understand people. They study people. They work with people. They have a heart for people, empathy for people. They love people. A character. You're always on the edge with character, Jen. Honesty, integrity, responsibility, a humble spirit. And one mess up with character, boy, that can cost a leader forever.
Wow.
So you've got to be extremely important. By the way, the 3 leaders we write about in that area are George Washington, Billy Graham, and Theodore Roosevelt. And then comes the fifth side, competence. In other words, leaders are good at what they do. And that begs the question about how they got good. Well, I'll tell you this, they work at it. They're studying other leaders, they're reading about it, they're really paying attention on how to improve as a leader. So in that area, we write about Thomas Jefferson, Bill Gates, and Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Right.
And then the sixth side of leadership is called boldness. It takes courage to be a leader, Jen. And you've got to make decisions, and you've got to step out, you know, oftentimes when it isn't popular. So in that area, you're going to read about Rosa Parks, Harry S. Truman, and Margaret Thatcher. And then the final area is called a serving heart. I think that really sets good leaders apart from great leaders when you have a heart of service. And in that section, we write about Gandhi, Mother Teresa, and Abraham Lincoln. So
wow.
That's a little look at the book, these 21 leaders placed into those seven areas based on what we thought was their greatest strength.
Wow. Brilliantly laid out. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Basketball Hall of Famer and co-owner of the Orlando Magic basketball team, Pat Williams. Pat, we know what a leader should be, but how about the characteristics of what a leader is not? Let me explain. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. And another scripture, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when the unrighteous rule, the people groan. How prevalent is that in our society today? And how would you turn that around if someone picked up the phone and said to Pat Williams, help?
Jen, I would steer them to Scripture and start studying some of these remarkable leaders in the Bible. I would start with Joseph in the book of Genesis, who as a leader is awfully hard to match. I would really dig in and study his approach to leadership. So much to learn there. I would study Joshua along with Moses. You know, those were excellent leaders, and there's much to learn there. I would study Daniel. I wrote a book some years ago about Solomon on leadership. You know, he messed up at the end, but there was a period there, Jen, when he was a leader par excellent. And then, of course, Jesus on leadership is a whole other discussion. Jesus obviously possessed these seven sides of leadership. And in about 1,000 days, he demonstrated, you know, what it takes to be a seven-sided leader. And so when you start reading into this, in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, I mean, read it with the idea that you're studying Jesus as a leader, and take some of those leadership lessons and apply them to your life as a leader, no matter what field you're in. That's a terrific exercise to work on for the next few months.
And you are a Christian, so obviously your Christian faith is foundational, I would guess, to all that you do, all that you've done, and all of who you are. Pat, I'm sure, like many others, you have felt like giving up, throwing in the towel, no one coming alongside to pat you on the back, not even your closest friends. What did you do during those times, and who inspired you to keep going? Obviously, Jesus and the Word, but did God send others to help lighten the load for you?
Oh, Jen, without question, I could walk you through different periods of my life. When it may have been a pastor. It may have been somebody else in the pro basketball business. You know, it may have been a spouse, you know. But along the way, obviously, I had, you know, many people who were there for me, and I would come to them seeking their counsel. And by the way, Jen, that's a whole other discussion about the word mentors. Oh, we need mentors in our life, our life coaches, or whatever you want to call them. But I would encourage everybody, you know, to seek out mentors to help you through those tough times, because they've already been through them, and they can offer wise counsel. So, and the other thing I've learned with all these great leaders, Jen, we should have never heard of any of them. They all should have quit about 20 times. But as you study their life, they went through these difficult periods, but they hung in there because they had a vision of what they wanted to accomplish, and they would not be denied. And they just kept going, and they kept grinding. Walt Disney called it stick-to-itivity. And it's not a real word, but it's a good word. And that's a good lesson I've learned about all these great leaders I write about, that they all practice that word, stick-to-itivity, or tenacity, or persevering, not giving up. And so any of your listeners tonight who may be struggling in any area of your life, you know, don't yield. Don't get misdirected here. You know, the Lord has big things planned for you, but it's only going to happen if you hang in there, you know, and refuse to give up.
Well, that's a great, great, great and encouraging word. What motivates and challenges you now? You've had a clean bill of health, or have a clean bill of health. You are currently in remission from multiple myeloma. Tell us about that journey and your work to help others in this area now.
Well, in January of 2011, I went in for my yearly physical. And when that physical was over, the doctor said, there's something in your blood work that doesn't look right. I didn't pay a whole lot of heed to that, but a few weeks later, I was sitting in the office of an oncologist, Dr. Reynolds, and he broke the news to me that I had cancer. Woo! Now that will get your attention. Wow. That will clear your nostrils out real quick. I asked him what he meant. He said, well, it's a blood cancer called multiple myeloma, which I had never heard of. But he said it's not curable, he said, but it's treatable. He broke the news to me. They started the treatment. The good news is I've been told by the medical team that I am cancer-free at this point, and that I'm able to continue my life, and I feel good. I'm able to keep my full schedule, and the Lord has been very, very good to me. And above all, I want to encourage others who are dealing with cancer issues. You know, I talk to them on the phone and communicate by email and do everything I can to cheer people up and encourage them. I wrote a book last year called The Mission is Remission, and hopefully that book might be helpful to people dealing with cancer.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the legendary Pat Williams, Basketball Hall of Famer, co-founder of the Orlando Magic. His latest great read, 21 Great Leaders. You can learn more about Pat Williams by going to patwilliamsmotivate.com or wherever books are sold. Pat, if I may, you are a leader's leader, a phenomenal example for us all. Thank you for fighting the good fight of faith in life, in career, in print, and on the court. Yours is a story of extraordinary achievement, godly wisdom, and the will to win. And we thank you for the gift of you. God bless you.
Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you, Jen.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.